So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Dan Matto speaking. Hope you're well today. And today is Property Cash Flow Show. Welcome. It's 12 o'clock in the UK. I'm here in Spain. It's a nice sunny day outside, apparently. I've not even been out of the house yet. I've got a little foot heater on just below this desk. It keeps my feet nice and warm. And then later on, we'll put the nice warm fire on so it's nice and cozy. The Christmas tree's right there in front of me, but that's switched off. Literally got up this morning and just got straight into work, which is pretty cool. But in today's property cash flow, I want to talk to you about renting and managing properties when you don't live near the property. So if you were wondering, well, Dan, how far away are you from the property? Well, or properties, it's like 1,000 miles, basically. So that's quite difficult to do viewings. You can't just jump in your car, drive to the airport, get on Ryanair, Blue Rinse, Happy Bus, land at Leeds Bradford, get the Uber, go do the viewing. They don't show up. Then you get the Uber back, get back on the Blue Rinse, Ryanair, plane thing, and then you get drive back 2.5 hours. You can't do that. It tends to take a whole day just to go one way, basically, with driving and waiting and flying and getting off and all that stuff. So we can't do it. So how on earth do you do it when you don't live anywhere near your properties? And actually, so it's good for us because we've got some really good experience over the last 20 years. Not only have we owned a lettings agency, which helped massively, obviously, but also I've owned properties that are nowhere near my main properties. So we had one in Swindon, for example, and honestly, the one in Swindon was such a pain in the backside to manage. And this is the problem that people get to. They go, well, I've got one here, and I've got one up there, and I've got one down here, and I've got one here. And do you know what? Property is a nightmare. It's murderous. It's horrific. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't get anyone to go to all these different places. And I'm like, dude, your problem is that you've got them all over the place. And the problem isn't you got one here, you got one there, you got one there, you got one there. That's not the problem. The problem is you've only got one there. You've only got one here. You've only got one there. If you have 10 up there and 10 here and 10 there, suddenly that problem's not a problem anymore because you can start to build a team. And this is, you know, in order to make the dream work, you've got to make the team work. So we know that, right? So the problem that I see for most people is they don't want to build a team. They want to just hand it over to a letting agent. And so this is my idea on letting agents, by the way. I used to own my own letting agency. At some point in the future, I will own my own letting agency again. We sold it for personal reasons, all to do with child abduction and stuff you don't want to know about. But we sold it. And some days I wake up in a cold sweat, and I don't. But some days I wake up and go, oh, I probably shouldn't have sold that. Sometimes I regret that. But actually, for me to move on, it had to go. But at some point in the next 5 years, we're going to buy one. We're going to take over one. We're going to buy somebody out. We're going to join one. We're going to have our own letting agency. At some point, we know that. So the experience that we've got teaches us that you've got to start building up a team. And most people don't want to do it. They want to hand the keys over to a letting agent. And so this is my thought on letting agents. We had a guy in Leeds, and he's like, look, I'll manage your whole portfolio and I'll do it for 5%. And it was useless. And I'm like, dude, I can ruin it myself. I don't need to pay you 5% to ruin my life. I can ruin it perfectly well on my own. What am I paying you 5% for? And across the portfolio, that adds up to quite a lot of money. So I'm going to give you some fake numbers, okay? So these are not real numbers. So let's say that you're pulling in, on average, let's say 30 grand. That's how much your rent roll is every single month. Okay, now let's say you're taking 10% of that and you're giving it to the letting agent. Well, now they're making 3 grand a month off you. That guy who runs the letting agency on his own, he's living off your, he's going on holiday off your money. So then I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. How about I just recruit someone full-time who's a handyman? And if everything's going really well, nothing's broken, you can just go around and paint random stuff. Do you know what I mean? Go do a bit of gardening, tidy this up, do this, replace doors, whatever. You can employ somebody full-time because now you've got 3 grand a month that you're not paying out for managing agents. So, and this is me, okay? If you're a busy doctor and you're working 60, 70 hours a week, you need to hand it to the managing agent so they can deal with the small things. The problem that I've had with letting agents, one, they don't look after a property like you look after it. Two, there's no sense of urgency at all. We had one in Doncaster, and they're like, yeah, it's going to take 3 weeks. 3 weeks? What are you talking about 3 weeks? We've got a viewing today at 1 o'clock UK time, and we've got another one at 1:30. Do you know what? These guys are moving in tomorrow. I ain't waiting 3 weeks. Oh, well, it takes 3 weeks to get all the referencing done. Well, screw that. We do you mean 3 weeks? You know, these people go, well, you mean 10% for void? 10% of your annual income for void? What planet are you on? Look at me getting all excited. I don't do voids. The hell are voids? Who the hell wants voids? You know what a void is? You know, it's empty. My current tenant, he moves out Friday. He's already done 3 or 4 viewings. And the kind of this time of year, Christmas time, is dreadful for viewings. We're all overseas students and they're just dreadful people. Because they never turn up, they're rude, arrogant, and just, I don't know why, maybe it's just December. But we've got 2 people today who are professionals. One's a lecturer, one's working in the NHS. So both good. So one of them's going to take it. The actual next problem that we're going to have is that both are going to want the same property at the same time. God damn it. We even put the property up, I think, 8% on this one because the tenant's moving out. So we put the property up. But if you're handing it over to a letting agency, they haven't got that sense of urgency. And so we're going to be like, oh, yeah, 3 or 4 weeks. I'm like, no, it just doesn't work. And then we get really confused when we complain about it. Because I'm warning Doncaster, I'm like, dude, we're not waiting that long. And we did wait that long. The tenant lasted 5 months and buggered off back to Poland, wherever it came from. So that was a waste of time and money and your customers for the benefit of doing it. I could have screwed that up myself, right? So if you're very busy, you should get a letting agent and they can handle the day-to-day. You know, the boiler stopped working, you just send a plumber. But this is the problem. When they send a plumber, the plumber that they're sending is £80 call-out fee. 80 quid? We're talking about £80. Well, as a plumber, it's an emergency plumber. It's not an emergency. All right, boiler's not working. But, you know, no one's dying. Depends when it is. 80 quid for a call-out fee? It cost me £10. I get my handyman. My handyman goes out. We've got several handymen. My handyman goes out, and he's first fix on everything. And if he can't fix it, he escalates it up to a plumber. And at that point, guess what? We might do the 80 quid. We might do. But generally, oh, yeah, it needs topping up. Or, I know your radiators need bleeding. Or, I don't know, it's some mumbo-jumbo that I don't understand. Fine. I did that, I switched it on, and it lit. Oh, no, the gas lighter had just gone out. I just reset the gas lighter. What? That was going to cost me 80 quid. Yeah. And now it's cost me £10. But when you hand it to a letting agency, it costs you full whack. I don't want to pay that money. That money's better in my pocket, or it's better, actually, in my handyman's pocket, going around. For that £80 that would have cost that plumber, not only is it £10 for him to go and look at this thing because it's £10 an hour, I'm like, dude, while you're there, is there anything you're painting? Yeah, actually, the hallway. Yeah, why don't you just paint the goddamn hallways? You've got 7 hours worth. And there you go. That's my £80 worth that I would have spent on a plumber now being spent bringing a property up. That tenant moves out. Another tenant looks at it and goes, wow, this is nicely painted and decorated. This is how you run it. I love talking about this stuff. I get really excited. I'm really animated. If you've got any questions, by the way, please ask. If you want to come and ask questions, you'd be in the mastermind group, because then it comes up on my little display down here. Here we go. Got any questions, then please ask. Let's put that on screen. So this is how I manage from overseas. Now, let's talk about a couple of things here about communication. Communication is really important for me. I am a communications expert. That's why I sound like this northern monkey. But it's true. Apparently, I am a communications expert. You know, there's 3 parts of communicating: sending a message, making sure the message is received, making sure the message is understood. If you've not done those 3 things, you've not sent a message. Dan, I sent you a text. Did you get it? No. Oh, well, I needed paying last week. Right. I have got it. But it's your fault because you didn't check to make sure I'd received it. I didn't even know it would come in. Or if you're sending a message and it's not understood and the person kind of nods, it's your responsibility to make sure the other person understands it. So communication is really, really important. So what happens is I might send my handyman a message, and we don't use voicemail and phones because it's just so interrupting. I just send him a message. Can you take pictures of the lounge? I want to see how tidy it is. This is one of my HMOs for the cleaner just this week. What's that doing there? Where's this come from? It's a HMO, you see. So you get furniture, it just arrives at your HMO, and you're like, where the hell has that come from? Whose is that? This box of books, 4-bag boxes of books. Who's those? The guy's moved it from his bedroom because his bedroom's too small. He's put them in the front room. We're like, you know, dude, we need to sort this out. So we use WhatsApp because then we can get pictures or videos or walkthroughs, and I can have a look all from overseas. And I tell all of my guys, look, you are my eyes and my ears. When somebody says something, the shower's leaking, you need to let me know the shower's leaking. Don't like, not tell me, because you think, oh, well, Dan's had a lot of expense this month. I better not. I need to know if the shower's leaking so we can fix it, because if we don't fix it, it gets worse. And if we don't fix it, tenants leave. And if the shower's caught, we have one with a boiler. For 2 weeks, the boiler didn't work. I didn't even know. I'm like, I went nuts at these tenants. I'm like, guys, does nobody want to tell me that the boiler's not working? I'm not, what's it called? I've not got ESP. Why don't you tell me that, and then I can actually work it out? I've just got a message from my tenants. What's checking? So communication, again, we explain this with all tenants that move in. If you don't tell me, I can't fix it. So if you've got a problem that you complain about later, don't bother like moaning later. You've got to tell me up front. And if you go, well, I didn't want to bother you. No, you should bother me. I'm your landlord. You are my tenant. That is how the relationship works. You've got to let me know, and then we can go in. I can get the handyman on first fix and go, oh, yeah, you need to do this. Oh, I need to do that. Why is that like? Let me fix that for you. That's how we do it. Now, one of the things that happened, interestingly, was that when I was living in the UK, I would be the one to go out and have a look, because I thought that that was right. And actually now I realise that's totally not right. I need to pay somebody on the books £10 an hour to go out and check stuff for me. That's what needs to happen. And then if they go and let's say it's the cleaner, they identify this needs doing, they can go on message, on WhatsApp, Dan, I've noticed this, like we've got one at the moment on a HMO and it's got some damp on the wall and it's basically a drain pipe, for whatever reason, it's just come off. And so no one's noticed, and so it's built up over a period of time. So she's like, Dan, I've noticed this, and I looked outside, there's a drain pipe hanging off because they now start to get more experience. And they go, do you want me to get such and such to fix it? I'm like, yep, that's it. So they organise Pete, it's called, they organise Pete to go around. Pete takes a look, fixes the drain pipe, sorts out the wall once it's dried, paints it, checks the damp and all that kind of thing. So all of that, it's all done, nice and easy. So that's how it works. That's how the communication works. And I have to empower my team to understand that you are empowered. You have authority. Dan, I've noticed the boiler's not working. Shall I fix it? What do you think? Yeah, go. Don't tell me. Drop me a message saying, Dan, I noticed last week your boiler wasn't working. I got Pete to have a look. Is that all right? Perfect. We now have to empower the team to go out and do the work for us, because they are my eyes and ears, and I don't know if anything happens unless they tell me, unless tenants tell me. But all this is part of your communication. And so you've got to start increasing your levels of communication so that you can take better control of the situation. And I know a lot of landlords, well, especially right now, because we've got Section 24, there's massive tax bills. This year is going to be particularly hard, I think, for landlords. You're going to see a lot of landlords move out. It's slowly crept in as Section 24, 20% a year. And on that final year, along with licensing and along with stamp duty, landlords are going to go, screw this, and they're going to move on and sell up and just move away. But for you, this is a good opportunity to start buying more stuff, because, you know, we've seen a flood of properties come onto a market in a particular location where licensing has come on, where there were no properties for sale, like one or two maybe, there's now 23 different properties for sale at like 70 grand a pop. And now I'm like, is that where we want to be buying? Like, I'm actually looking at one beds for about 60 grand, flats specifically, not houses, which is another conversation, which I'll have another time. But for me, like, all this stuff's coming back on the market now. And I'm like, maybe I'll just go out and buy some more of those, because 70 grand, two bed houses, like, you can't go wrong. 70 grand, £525 a month rent. Somebody do the maths on that. I can't do it. Like, that's really good cash flow, really good yield. Should we just do it? Well, let's do it. What did I say? 70 grand. Let's just log in. 70 grand. So first of all, £525 times 12 is 6,300 divided by 70 is a 9% yield. 9% yield. That's not bad, is it? Not when people in London are getting 3%. If you want some of those, let me know. We've got contacts can put you into touch with, who can also manage it and refurb it and do whatever work you need doing. And the reason why people are selling these, by the way, is because you're having to buy it at 70, but then the place needs £2,000 of work doing to it. It needs fire doors. It needs interconnected smoke alarms. It needs all this extra stuff. But landlords, they haven't got £2,000 sat there, because landlords have got no money. This is what's going on. Look, if you thought they had no money before, they've got even less money now. except rents are going up. That kind of balances out a little bit. In fact, for us, rents have gone up significantly. But we always kept our rents kind of below market value anyway to get them rented quick because we don't like voids. Now we can put rents up. We just put this one up where we've got a viewing in 45 minutes. Not me doing it, the tenant's doing it. But now we put the rent up from 875 to 950. And actually, we put it on at 995. We dropped it to 950 because I didn't get any viewings within the first day or so. For me, that's usually a signal that needs to be dropped. But actually, we could have kept it at 995 and we would have rented that anyway, I think. I'm kind of kicking myself a little bit. But listen, I'm kicking myself because I put rent up £75 a month. That's a £900 a year salary increase, if you want to look at it like that. With Section 24, I now owe the government even more money. So, by the way, if you've got any questions, then please let me know. So this is how you manage stuff from overseas. Viewings, is that Dan? Yeah, landlord, yeah, I'm moving out. Okay, when you're moving? A month's notice, great. I'm going to put the property back on. More than happy to write you a reference, but could you do me a favour too? Could you do some viewings for me? Yeah, of course I can. Great. I'd love to do that then. Let's write you a reference. Let's get you doing some viewings. I'll try not to send too many. I'll try and qualify them just so you're getting people who actually want to move quickly and that kind of thing, ready to move on the day that you move out. They do the viewings. The tenant comes and asks me, like a new tenant, what about council tax? What about bills? What about this? The sofa's a bit damaged. Can you fix it? Can you replace it? This needs painting. Notice the window was damaged. Can you fix that? Yeah, sure. I didn't even know about that. We send heat in. So by the time they get there and ready to move in, it's all the work's already done. Hell, we had one last month or 2 months ago. We're in December now, maybe November or October. I can't remember what it was. And we had a tenant moving out and a new tenant moving in. And some of the walls, for some reason, at some point, had been painted black, like one feature wall, but it was black. I don't know why. But then there were scuff marks on some of the other walls as well. So they said, look, I want to move in a day after your tenant moves out, but I need it painting. Can you do that? So we spoke to our tenant. He was going back to China and we'd agreed to buy some wardrobes and some furniture off him anyway, just to help the guy out, basically. We got some cheap wardrobes, but like, what's he going to do with them? Take them on a plane back to China? So we were like, no, we'll buy the stuff for you, but in return, could you do me a favour? The new tenant needs the bedroom painting. We're going to move the bed into the front room. Do you mind staying there on your last night so we can go in? And he's like, that's fine, not a problem at all. So that's exactly what we did. We went in, we painted it. That tenant moved out, got on a plane back to China. New tenant comes in, moves in. Perfect. Bathroom's all clean. New sealant around the bathroom. We also painted the lounge on the morning that the tenant moved in. Perfect. Work like clockwork. Doesn't always work like clockwork. My handyman gets a bit stressed sometimes, but that's up to him, not me. It works like clockwork. Again, how do we do it? Communication from all parties. Knowing that there's a plan, handyman knows this needs doing, that needs doing, this needs doing. This is when a tenant's moving out. This is when you're getting keys. This is when a tenant's moving in. This is your window of opportunity to get all the work done. How's that fitting into everything else that we've got? Okay, put that back, bring this forward, or move that back and move this forward. Whatever, time-wise, needs to happen in order for him to get that job done. We do it all the time. We just had another one. We've got a tenant. She's been in there, I reckon, 10 years in the same place. We've not really put rents up, but it was on 450. It's a three-bed house. It is a bit cheap. I think we put it up to, let's have a look, see if we can find out. I think we're up to 550, maybe. Where is she? Where she is. Yeah, it's on at 550. So we've only put it up £100. But on that one, for example, I messaged her, hey, just checking if things okay. Yeah, everything's great, thanks. And I'm like, do you know what? We've not done any work in your house for ages. She had a boiler problem. She had a freezer problem, I think. But I'm like messaging her, so, you know, does anything need doing? And she's like, actually, yeah, my kitchen, my bathroom, and my hallway. I'm like, what is it? Well, it's got scuff marks, single mum, two or three kids, it's been in 10 years, she works as well. I'm like, look, I tell you what, why don't we get Pete down? And she's like, that'd be wonderful if we could do that in January. I'm like, do you want it done for Christmas? And she's like, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. So off we go. She wants pastel colours. That's fine. I have no problem. She's going to be in for another 10 years. We might stick a rent up another 50 quid at some point. But good tenants, that's what we want to keep. So I'm saying to Pete, you know, can you go around and just organise time and day in order to do this? While you're there, take a look around, see if anything else needs doing. So we're ahead of the game. So we're continually looking for what needs doing. We've got a couple of things in HMOs, a couple of things with lights need changing. So It's like, what's the budget for that? Well, we need 150 quid to change some lights and make it a bit more ambient, because we're moving into 2020, you know? We want to keep stuff up to date. We want to keep tenants happy. So that's what we're doing. We're changing some of the light fittings and increasing or improving some of those so that tenants' experience of staying there improves so they don't leave earlier. They like where they live. And this is one of the reasons why, by the way, we get people staying for years. You know, we've got a tenant moving out right now, the one who's got the viewings in Fortinet, and he's moving out because his flatmate has basically decided to do a runner. He texted me last weekend saying she's got loads of strangers around and we're doing drugs, and it's a penthouse flat, very nice one in Leeds City Centre. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, that's for you to sort out. Phone the police if you feel threatened. But keep an eye on it and let me know if we need to hand notice in or if you need to move out. So anyway, she came to him and said, oh, I'm moving out. And that's fine. She can move out. She's moving out today, I think. And he's moving out on Friday. It's not a problem. We can handle a week's notice. And I'm saying to the guy who's getting very, very, very stressed, and he's so stressed, he's worried about the money, he's worried about his credit rate. I'm like, dude, just relax. Don't worry about it. Let's get viewings. Let's get them lined up. We've had a couple of Muppets going in who aren't serious, can't even turn up. Don't tell you that we're not turning up. But it looks like we've got a couple of people that are about to do very well on it. So someone's phoning me. So that's exactly what's happening on that particular property. And so he's going to move out. Someone else will move in. And I said to him, look, we'll just sort the rent that you owe. It was due on the 8th. It's only the 11th today. And he's panicking about it being late and all this kind of. I'm like, dude, just relax. Just relax. Relax a little bit. It's coming up to Christmas. He's beyond stress. And I'm like, how quick can you move out? Like, I've got nowhere to go. I'm going to be homeless. I'm like, well, don't move out then. Let's move, you know, move out when we have a tenant. And so we know what the deadline date is. But in the meantime, we need to go and find somewhere. He's got somewhere I need to make the reference. And we're all happy. We're all very happy, in fact. So he's just going to move out. It's nice and easy. We've got a team in place. He's doing the viewings for me. I'm going to write the great reference. The new tenant move in. He's going to hand keys over. We'll probably put a cleaner in between. And actually, this property does need a little bit of paintwork. And we'll say to the new tenants, look, we're going to do this, but move in and we'll do it then. And for those tenants to go, no, I want it all done now. Well, you can piss off then. We'll get another tenant who says yes. That's how it works, folks. That's how it works. We get to control who goes into my properties. Oh, I can get really angry about that. I've got a list of people I don't rent to, by the way. Certain jobs are inappropriate for you to stay in one of my properties. And the jobs, they're not like hookers and strippers, not a problem. All right, maybe hookers is a problem. But what, as long as it's legal, I don't care what you do. Actually, prostitution is legal. But anyway, as long as you're earning money and there's no back, you know, come back and on me, I don't care. But there are some professions that you don't want to rent up. Lawyers, shall we say, because they're not nice people generally. So what's that old joke in Philadelphia? What's 10,000 lawyers at the bottom of the sea called? A good start. So me and lawyers generally don't get on. So I've got a list of people I won't rent up, and you'll discover this for yourself. With levels of cockiness, levels of bullying. Some people try and bully you into making decisions you wouldn't normally make. So that was interesting. Maybe other kind of lawyering, law enforcement kind of people might try and do that. If you've ever pissed off a copper, you know how bad that can get. So you want to make a decision on who that's going to be. But we want like nice and easy. I want my life to be easy. I don't want conflict. I want good-paying tenants. Anyone under 30 gets guarantored, basically. Anyone over 30, never rented in their life, we need a guarantor because they've lived with mum and dad all their life. What are they going to know about cooking or anything, right? We want a guarantor. Anyone who's me and my girlfriend are moving in. Awesome, great. How long have you been seeing each other? 6 months. Okay, wonderful. New relationship, great. And is this your first place together? Yeah. It's a no. We know what happens. 2 months in, she's left me for another man. He's left her for another man. Whatever. And it all goes wrong. Now we want to move out. And we're hating each other. There's holes in the walls because you're ramming her head into it. And like, dude, we don't want any of that. My job is two things. One, I want an easy life. Two, I want to get paid. If we can do those two things, you can move in. For certain people at certain life stages having certain problems, they're never going to give me that And right now, you know, we can pick and choose what sort of tenants we want moving in. And I would recommend that you do this the same. By the way, if someone's down on their luck, that's not to say that we reject everybody, but we treat everybody the same. So let's talk about DSS for a second, because I think that's really important. DSS, LHA, have this idea that they are the chosen one for some reason, but they should have special dispensation, but they should be looked after, because for DSS, it's not my fault that I'm in the situation. And I kind of disagree with that. So maybe not their fault in that situation, but I disagree with the fact that they are the chosen one and that they can demand this, that, and the other when actually we're like, oh, piss off. So for an example, somebody who goes, well, I'm on DSS and I've got two kids, that on its own doesn't bother me. The other tenant that we talked about earlier, she's got a couple of kids, single mum, and she works. It's fine. What worries me and what I reject is when a DSS tenant comes and goes, yeah, I'm on universal credit. Like, that's already alarm signals, okay? And then I'm like, okay, so who's paying the rent? Well, the government paying it, okay? So when you move in, because we treat everybody the same, okay? Unless you're a lawyer. We treat everybody the same. So we need your upfront rent. Oh, well, I've not got that. It's universal credit. You'll get paid in 8 weeks' time. Well, therein is the problem. That's why we don't accept universal credit. Why should I have to wait 2 months? And then we get, obviously, the social workers on the phone. Well, we don't think that's fair. Okay, well, how about you don't get paid for 2 months? How about we stop your salary and you don't get paid for 2 months like I am, and we do it that way? Or how about this, Mr. Social Worker? How about you act as their guarantor and put yourself forward for any financial repercussions? And they go, no, I'm not doing that. No, no, but you expect me to, right? You expect me to take the risk on your client, and you're not prepared to take the risk on your client, who you know very well what sort of person they are, and you're not prepared to do it, but you expect us to do it. So we have issues surrounding that. And obviously, this is just going to get much, much worse, by the way. All of this is leading to homelessness, and Section 24 is pushing rents up. So there's always people higher up, okay? The people at the bottom where rents are going up now can't afford it because, and by the way, if you're getting local housing authority and they say they're going to top it up, guess what happens on the top up? It soon starts to disappear. Then you can't evict because it might be £100 a month. If it's £500 a month rent, it takes 10 months for them to get into 2 months arrears. So now you're losing money every month and you can't do anything for 10 months. The whole system is completely messed up. And unfortunately, social workers don't get it. MPs don't get it. Councillors don't get it. Councils don't get it. Jeremy Corbyn absolutely 100% doesn't get it. I was reading an article in The Guardian yesterday about homelessness. Not once was Section 24 mentioned. They just talked about bastard landlords. And it's like, this is the whole thing. So people at the bottom, you know, 400 is their local housing allowance, 500 is the rent, they can't rent. Where are they going to go? They end up in hostels costing them £1 million. Peterborough last year cost them £1 million in B&B and hostels. It's crazy. So where do these people go? Well, they're going to substandard accommodation. That's exactly where they go. Why are they going into substandard accommodation? Because rents have gone up. Why have rents gone up? Because of Section 24, stamp duty, removal of wear and tear. I could talk all day about this, and I love arguing about it with people on The Guardian because they're idiots. Sorry if you're a Guardian reader, but it's true. So this is like the knock-on effect. Why do you think homelessness? Everywhere you go, you step out of Leeds train station, there's reams of homeless people. We know why, but we even have the answers to cure it. No one's interested because we're just greedy landlords and no one's interested in our opinion because we're the ones who have caused the situation in the first place, which is completely an untruth. Anyway, nice little rant there. We've gone way over 28 minutes today. No questions. I think you guys are just enjoying me and my little rants, which I quite enjoy myself. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that one. On Friday, instead of a Mindset and Hustle show, we're going to do another property cash flow because we're going to interview Tina Walsh, who does property sourcing compliance. So this is 12 noon on Friday. Hopefully all the connection, all the technology works really well. So we've got property sourcing compliance. If you're a property sourcer, you want to get into property sourcing, you've got to make sure you're compliant, otherwise you go to prison, basically, or you get fined and all the rest of it. So you need to be compliant. Most people aren't. So I'm going to grill Tina. If we were the Sun newspaper, we're going to grill Tina on why you should be compliant as a property sourcer, because that's the kind of explosive language that they use. So we're going to ask Tina about why you need to do it, what you need to do, what the quickest ways are, how to fast track it, all of that kind of stuff. That's on Friday, 12 noon. I hope that's useful for you. I hope you can join us. In the meantime, it's Wednesday. Have yourself an awesome week, and we will catch up with you on Friday. My name's Dan Latta. Have a good week, guys. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.